7:04 on a Monday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. A friendly reminder that you can now download and listen to every single hour of every single show that we do via podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts. It's available on Google Podcasts. Someone was asking about Spotify.
We're working on that.
Nice.
Also, leave a review. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Subscribe, leave a review. I don't want to brag.
Okay.
But.
Yeah. All right, go first.
Right now, we are, and I checked this out this morning just to get it updated, the 223rd most popular sports podcast in Japan.
That's massive.
223, down 103 spots from yesterday. So it's a dip. We're trying to work our way into the Japanese market. But again, Halford and Bruff ranked number 223 in the heavily saturated world of Japanese sports podcasts.
I would like to take issue with one of the reviews left on the Apple podcast site.
Okay.
It was left on Thursday. Okay. And the username was Heater. I think it might have been Danny Heatley. It says, best Vancouver radio show, 5 stars.
Cool.
No issues with that.
Right on.
Comment, huge fan of Halford and Dom.
Right on.
Great show always.
Oh, he just left it at that.
Yeah.
Heater. I think Heater's...
Huge fan of Halford and Dom.
Interesting. The Halford and Dom show? Who knows? Dom is a young up-and-comer, and you are the oldest one.
Has he had conversations with you, like, behind my back? It's like, all right, we're going to push this guy out, right?
We got to get, and then I reply, we got to get younger eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
This is like the Edler conversation.
It's like Torts, like, the show is stale.
Yeah. Are we bringing this guy back again? We're trying to trade him at the deadline every year. He won't wave. He won't leave. Anyway, thank you all for downloading and listening to the podcast. We appreciate it very much. A quick update on what's coming up on the program today. Brendan Batchelor is going to join us in just a moment here as we talk all things Canucks, as they are now on their extended break with a team-wide COVID outbreak. 8 o'clock, Kevin Bieksa will be joining us. 8:30, Daniel Coombs, an epidemiologist from UBC, will be joining us. Now, his area of expertise, his specialty, is mapping out the sort of mathematical when it comes to pandemics and infectious disease. And I guess that's very appropriate that we have him on today, because what we're dealing with the Brazilian variant is how contagious it is.
Yeah.
The transmission rates are three times higher than the standard COVID-19. So that's all coming up later on in the show. I should also remind you, and I know Batch is on the line, we'll get to him in a sec, what we learns. We're actually going to do them at 7:30 today. And we have zero. And that's because we haven't asked for them. Get them in now. What did you learn over the last 72 hours in sports? Gonzaga over UCLA. Anything from the golf that happened, which we haven't even got into yet.
Yeah.
Anything from Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani. Did that catch your eye over the weekend? What you learned over the last 72 hours
Jordan
in sports?
Jordan Spieth is back. And the Masters are coming up.
Now, I don't follow the golfs, but first win in 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Since 2017. I think Dustin Johnson is the favorite at the Masters, but he's certainly not the runaway favorite at the Masters.
So text your What We Learns in now. Your chance to be on the radio, 650, 650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. Text in now. You can also get us at Sportsnet 650 on Twitter. I am at Mike Halford 604. He is at Sad Club Commish. Let's go to the phone line now, joined by the radio play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks right here on Sportsnet 650. Brendan Batchelor joins us now. What up, Batch?
How's it going, guys? Good to be with you.
Good to have you on. Thanks for taking the time. And I genuinely mean that, because first and foremost, we have to congratulate you, belatedly, of course, but your daughter is now a grand total of 1 week old. So first, congratulations on that. Two, how is fatherhood going?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm pretty tired, as I'm sure you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Sleep has been at a premium this week, but at the same time, it's been a pretty amazing week, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So doing well.
Now, obviously, it feels weird to say this, but the Canucks have had an extended period of time off, so it's worked personally in your favor quite well. Not so much for the hockey team, and I'm sure you've been following it exceptionally closely, especially over this weekend, where it seemed like there was news coming out hourly about the state of the Canucks and guys being added to the COVID-19 protocol list. From your perspective, and we were talking about this prior to going to break, so we'll start there. From your perspective, have you been told or have you heard or have you had any conversations about anything about, you know, Brendan, this is what the next week might look like. This is when we're anticipating things will get back, or will we even get back to playing hockey with this team given the state they're in?
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet on that score, and you can understand why with the National Hockey League trying to work through some of these things, and you know, obviously the health and safety of all the people that have tested positive is the primary concern here, and the hockey issues will get sorted out afterwards. But you know, you look at the schedule, you look at the fact that, you know, conservatively, if we're talking about, you know, maybe a full 2 week break for this hockey club, conservatively 8 games that they might have to make up. You know, I'm going to be interested to see if the NHL is able to get those games in, how they're able to try and work that, whether they delay the end of the regular season for the North Division specifically. But, you know, with things still developing, players, you know, still seemingly contracting COVID cases daily, players' family members now being involved. You know, I'm sure this is something for the NHL that is, you know, hour by hour in terms of how they're monitoring it. And so I guess we'll all just have to wait and see what things look like on the other end here.
Is it feasible that the NHL might look to see how some of the games go in the next little while? Like, I'm talking about Montreal specifically, because we got a text into the Dunbar Lumber text line that says, boys, the Canadians, the Montreal Canadiens, play the Oilers, Leafs, and Jets this week. It is possible by Thursday the Canucks and Canadiens are only separated by 6 points and have played the same number of games. Are the playoffs that far? Now, my response would be, it is also possible that by Thursday the Canucks and the Canadiens are separated by 12 points and they played the same amount of games. You know, the Habs are a pretty good team. I know they've been a little bit up and down this season. But if you get to the point, and the NHL doesn't have to come out with a plan today, you get to the point where it's like very, very, very unlikely that the Canucks would have a chance of making a run at the playoffs. Are they really going to say, all right, let's get all these games in, including those 4 games against the Ottawa Senators that they have left?
No, and that's exactly where I would start as well is, you know, if you feel like for the, you know, the competitive integrity of the playoff race that you need to have the Canucks play the games against, you know, the Leafs and the other teams going to the playoffs in, you know, the way things shake down now, looking at those 4 clubs, which include the Canadiens as being those likely teams that will make the postseason, then why do the Canucks need to play the Ottawa Senators, you know, when those games will mean nothing except, you know, determining lottery position, which could very easily be done by points percentage anyway. So, you know, that is one way that the league could go here, where you remove the games against Ottawa. You could even think about, you know, limiting the games against Calgary as well. And that might be a way that you get those games in. And so, yeah, if I was, you know, a decision maker, and it's, you know, probably a good thing I'm not, but that would be where I would start in terms of, you know, trying to figure out a way to, you know, complete the season and play the games that will matter for the teams that are battling for playoff positioning, you know, while also ensuring, you know, the safety and health of the Canucks and the organization as much as you can.
It's Alfred and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650, and we're talking with Brendan Batchelor. Obviously, it goes without saying that the health and safety of the Canucks players, staff, coaches, everyone in the organization is a priority. But I do have to say that a week from today, it's the NHL trade deadline. Are the Canucks going to be able to make any deals?
Yeah, I would be, you know, seriously doubtful that would be the case as of right now. And, you know, even before this COVID outbreak, you know, I was a bit skeptical as to how much Jim Benning would be able to do just because of the state of the market right now, where, you know, in a COVID year where you're not going to be selling, you know, as many tickets to playoff games as you would otherwise for contending teams south of the border, especially who are able to have limited fans right now. teams that might be a buyer in a normal year on the playoff bubble probably are not looking at that to the same degree that they would. So you're looking at a lot of available players being on the market. And the Canucks do have some pieces that, you know, they would be able to recoup assets for, Tanner Pearson being at the top of that list. We've heard about interest in Jordy Benn. But, you know, when you look at, you know, the number of other teams that might be looking to offload salary or offload players prior to the deadline, I always thought that, you know, if Jim Benning was able to make one move to move out a pending UFA, that would probably be a successful trade deadline. And if he was able to make two moves and recoup some draft picks or some assets, that would probably be pretty successful with, you know, the state of the market right now. But you throw in this COVID outbreak, and, you know, I wonder if the Canucks even make a move between now and then, just because they're so tied up with all of these other issues. And you can certainly understand that they have to, as you said, put the health and safety of their players and their staff first. And, you know, that it seems anyway that that's what they're doing here.
We're speaking to Canucks play-by-play man Brendan Batchelor here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Brendan, big picture here. What's it been like for you trying to do your job and call games and cover this team this season? And I ask because if you look at it, take a step back and look at the big picture. The season began with COVID-19 issues, and now it's bookended, at least right now, with even more larger COVID-19 issues. The team underperformed. There was the month of February where there was just loss after loss piling up. And then for you guys, and I've talked to Shorty about this as well, it's not the same old, you know, you show up at the rink, you do your routine, you call a game, you're calling off monitors. It's all these different adjustments. It's really been a tumultuous year in that regard. I'm curious, you know, you're so dialed into the team. You're working on a nightly basis. You're trying to do the things that you are kind of trained yourself to do in terms of routines and everything. What's this year been like?
Yeah, it's been very different. And, you know, for us, obviously, we got a taste of it in the playoffs last year with calling all the games from the bubble off monitors at a studio here in Vancouver. So that part of it was relatively, you know, smooth going into this year. Hershey and I had done all those games in the playoffs last year, so we knew what to expect in terms of calling games off monitor. And, you know, that is a challenge, right? You can't see all the things that you would normally see when you're perched high above the ice at the rink. And, you know, we had to use, you know, at times people that work for the station watching the TV broadcast. And if the TV announcer who is at the rink is saying, oh, you know, Chris Tanev has left the Canucks bench or something like that, then that was how we would get that information, right, as opposed to actually being able to see it. And then, you know, this year with Zoom availabilities, not having the normal access to players and coaching staff to talk to them and gain insight, both on and off the record, is something that has been quite a challenge. But at the same time, it's been fun to be back calling games. And, you know, certainly I think that's a big part of, you know, why we all follow this team, why fans, you know, love watching the Canucks, and especially during a tough year, is, you know, the escape you can have from all of the problems going on in the real world. And it's really unfortunate that both at the start of the year, as you alluded to, with Jordy Benn and JT Miller, and now at the end of the year with this COVID outbreak, that, you know, the real world has very much invaded the sports world too. And then, you know, from my perspective personally, I had to miss 2 weeks because of a close COVID contact as well, right? So it's something that you know, has touched a lot of people here, myself included, and the Canucks are going through it right now as well.
Batch, I normally end these by saying we'll do this again real soon, but given what's going on and how we don't know what the schedule is going to play like, I'll just say we'll do this again.
Yeah, talk to you in October.
I don't know how soon it'll be, but this was great. Thanks a lot for doing this. Enjoy the rest of today. And again, we'll talk again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks. That's Brendan Batchelor here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Get your What We Learns in. Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. You can also get us on Twitter at Sportsnet 650. I'm at Mike Halford 604. He's at Sad Club Commish. Now, there is something at play here with the Brazil variant in that some people have suggested and alluded to the NHL maybe having to go back and readdress some of its protocols, because now you've got a strain of COVID-19 that is three times more transmissible. There's other people that are saying this thing is so transmissible that there's really not much that the NHL could do more to alter its current COVID protocols. I just bring this up because of what happened. You saw the Dallas game yesterday. So Rick Bowness, the oldest coach in the NHL, actually got yanked off the bench in... There's got to be a better way to say that. He got taken away from the bench.
He was actually surprisingly happy.
Yeah, he's okay with it. He got taken off the bench. There we go. That's better.
Pulled off the bench?
No, that's not better.
Even worse.
Maybe worse.
Yeah.
He was pulled off the bench during the second period of Sunday's game against Carolina, replaced by John Stevens. Now, what happened was Bonus returned a positive, which they believe to be a false positive because Bonus had taken the vaccine already. He got both vaccine shots in January.
Mm-hmm.
But in adhering to protocol, they had to do this. Even though when you think about it, you're like, well, he's behind the bench, like, you know, pulling down his mask and yelling at guys. And the guys beside him, you know, if something's happening throughout the team. But that's the way that NHL protocol went. Do you have the Jim Nill audio? This is Dallas GM Jim Nill talking about how they sort of played by the rules, even though they believe this to be a false positive. Here we go.
Yes, we did communicate with the league, and they agreed with us. Let's get him out of the game because of his situation of being vaccinated. And regularly, we would, like, as I mentioned, we'd really usually get these tests, like I said, it'd be sometime early tomorrow morning. But because this one came back quicker, we consulted with the league, and everybody decided this was the right situation because of Rick's situation, that he is a low risk, and because of the grade of the test.
So the NHL also sent around a memo.
Okay.
I think the PA might have too. We've got details of that from Elliot Friedman. He shared it on Headlines, I believe, on Saturday.
Okay.
Basically, the NHL reminding teams, hey, this thing isn't over.
Right. Not by a long shot.
I mean, I mean,
you look at the news on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to, say, your non-traditional hockey site, if you go to NHL.com, it's got all the headlines. ESPN had, well, now they're in with the NHL, but they had the Vancouver Canucks on the front page, and then on their front headlines bar, there was the Rick Bowness story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the story in the NHL right now. It really is. This is because there's so much uncertainty. It's not going away. And months after Dallas went through a team outbreak that had 17 players, the Canucks have 16 players currently on the NHL's COVID-19 protocol. So you kind of look at it, and I feel like ghoulish talking about it like this, but it's like nobody made any progress. Like, you're still dealing with the exact same team-wide outbreak scenario you were at training camp as you are a month away from the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's got a lot of people.
The only difference is that the vaccinations have really started, especially down south.
Correct.
And even to the point where some of the players have them. So two things coming up on the show, the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. First of all, what we learns, send them in right now. Text them into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. We'll read some of those. On the other side, we'll also play that Elliot Friedman audio from Saturday about the memos that went around to the various clubs. It is the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Friendly reminder that all NHL trade deadline coverage here on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor with locations across Canada. Purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com.
Pretty strongly worded memo to all of the teams and the Players Association sent one out too. And basically what the league said is that we have begun to encounter incidents of non-compliance with our protocol. And it warned this is not the time to slip and that everybody had to remain vigilant. Things that they were reminded of was mask wearing, even if you've been vaccinated. That's obviously more in the States as opposed to Canada, where players can't get to the vaccine yet. Not going to restaurants, strongly discouraging card playing even if masked, and also coaches pulling down their masks to talk to players or officials during the game. It was just a reminder that, you know, with what's happened in Vancouver and some of the more recent situations, we can't afford to slip up as a group.
7:29 on a Monday, Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. That voice you just heard, Elliot Friedman, That was on Saturday during headlines, talking about the memo that the NHL sent around, essentially saying, as Jason Brough so eloquently put it, this thing ain't over yet. And everyone needs to sort of readdress and relook at a lot of the protocols that are in place and don't start letting those slip.
I would say, especially in Canada.
Right. I will also mention that Elliot Friedman is going to be on this station today at noon on the Surtool show, which I don't think is taking off like I thought it would as a moniker.
I think you should keep going with it, though.
I'm not
going
to stop.
Are we in regular? Are we in negotiations with Fried for a regular hit on this show?
Correct.
Are we going to win that negotiation or lose it?
I can't tell you that. I don't know.
That's a CMAC question.
That's a CMAC question? Okay. All right. Well, let's do some what we learns then.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say f*** the lemons and bail.
Wow. You sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
How shall we do this on a holiday Monday? Do you have anything in the chamber that you want to unload?
No, we're going right to the humanoids.
I think
our what we learns might be a thing of the past anyway. Unless they make us do a 4-hour show again.
Did we really learn anything, you and I?
Barely anything. Barely. I'm still stuck in the 80s.
I'm not learning.
Andrew and Victoria. I'm going to start with the negative.
Okay.
Andrew and Victoria, what we learned, there is something that just doesn't sound right since your return to radio. I can't put my finger on it. It's like the Muppets after Jim Henson died, and we ended up with wrong-sounding Muppets, or the weird butter we have now.
Weird butter.
First of all, I'm glad you brought up the butter. That's been one of the worst things. Yeah, it doesn't spread. The butter doesn't spread now. Have you not followed Buttergate at all?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't spread.
Can you not? This is a genuine shock on my face right now. What are you talking about?
Butter doesn't spread anymore.
Butter doesn't spread anymore. Is that what Andrew's talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. It might be palm oil, something they're feeding the cows, but butter doesn't spread.
This is a widespread issue in the.
This is a big time issue.
I see what you're
doing. You didn't even try. It goes number one, COVID.
Yeah.
Number two, butter.
Among the grocers and the patrons of said grocery stores?
Have you tried to, do you use butter?
I do, yes.
Okay, have you tried to spread butter on toast or anything? It doesn't spread.
You know what? I mean, I usually, I haven't even thought about it.
Even if you warm it up, even if you put it in the microwave, it still won't. Oh. It's a real problem.
Interesting.
And there is a big time conspiracy at hand. I just don't know what it is. As for the sound.
Was that a butter?
I can't believe.
Can't believe it's not butter.
Can't believe it's not butter.
So the sound, I do want to say a few things. Mike and I have been experimenting with different mics.
Right.
There might be some engineering improvements that we can make. Dom can probably do a better job with our levels.
Just in general.
I'm riding your levels all throughout the show.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you really?
You guys sound very much better than we did when you guys were in the headset.
I wonder if he's
very
talking
much better.
It's early.
Bigly. I wonder if he's talking about not necessarily how it like actually sounds sonically, but like the actual like content. Like you just sound different now.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, the show does sound different. Like you've put your own spin on a lot of the intros and the segments, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. You're picking your own tune, so we've got a little bit, like, it's just a little bit different. It's like 10% off.
Yeah.
I think I understand what he's talking
10%
about.
10% off because we've got a new producer. It's not as good.
But not in a bad way.
Thanks.
Just in a different way.
You got to, don't, I've been noticing that we've been giving too many compliments to Dom.
You have. I'm very surprised.
Yeah. And I think
when did we compliment
him? I don't want him to get comfortable. Believe me, don't. Not in this business.
Fair enough.
I'm not working for us. Aaron the Brewer, what we learned. I learned that the Daryl Sutter Experience in Calgary isn't working. The Flames suck, and that's awesome. It sure is. The Flames are terrible. They lost again on Sunday, 4-2 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have another game tonight against those same Leafs. They're lower in the standings in points percentage than Vancouver.
They're a disaster.
They are easily the most disappointing team in Canada because their expectations, let's be honest, were higher than Vancouver's.
You know what the what the record is since the coaching change? 5-8-0.
Yeah.
They were actually doing better under Jeff Ward.
What were they expecting, recycling an old coach like that?
Well, he's a pretty good coach, man.
He
had some success in Calgary as well.
He's past his prime.
It's Calgary. I think it was a stale idea when I saw it. It was like, well,
it was.
You know, it's like I can respect the fact that Sutter's won a lot of games and he's been a good coach, but this felt like, well, you know, certain things work in Calgary. Like if they weren't going to put it this way, if Daryl Sutter wasn't going to get the job, I assume they were going to give it to Jerome Iginla. Mm-hmm. Like that's just Calgary to me, right?
I would imagine what it is Brad Treliving, the general manager, thinking these guys need a kick in the butt. And I'm sick of making excuses for these guys. These guys need to figure it out. They need to play harder. They need to be, you know, the cliche, harder to play against. And Daryl Sutter's the type of guy that gets teams to play like that.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just not built like that. Can you really tell a team with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, like, be really hard to play against?
Well, I mean,
play a heavy style. Johnny Gaudreau is like, I'm 150 pounds. Yeah. Like, what do you want me to wear, weights?
You and I have talked about this before. Is I feel like they want to have an identity so badly
they
as
don't
a
have
hockey
one.
Team. And I think it always comes back to that team that went to the finals in 2003. That team that lost to
2004.
2004. 03-04. I feel like that was – because that was – a tough, gritty team, and Iggy was leading the way, and they had solid goaltending, and they were going to grind, and they were going to grind, and they were going to grind, and they had, you know, the guys that they love. This is a team that is the identity of the team. I feel like, and I've said this before back when we were on 1040, I feel like it's split between, do you want to be a skill first, you know, skill forward team led by Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, maybe to a lesser degree, Hanifin, or do you want to be like the old school cowboy ass kicker team where you're going to be led by guys now, which is like Tkachuk, Mangiapane, the guys that get
Luch is still there.
Luch is still there, right? I know they like Dylan Dubé for the role as well. These guys run around and they make things happen.
I just don't know what they're going to do with this team at the end of the season.
Well, they're going to have to make some significant change.
But
I don't know.
How do you blow up a team that's...
I don't know if it's a blow it up, but I do think it's like, do we need to part ways with one of Monahan or Gaudreau? Because that would send a message.
But it would all depend what you get back for those guys. You can't just be like draft picks for Johnny Hockey, because then your team is worse.
Yes, it would have to be a very, very classic hockey trade where talent goes out, talent comes in. You can't trade for futures.
I knew this was going to happen.
What?
Text in, wow, I'm a dairy farmer. The processors threw the farmers under the bus. It is not the palm oil. We don't feed palm oil. And then another text in.
Is it Greg the dairy farmer?
Might
I bet
be
it is.
Greg.
I haven't heard from Greg in a while.
Cows are never fed palm oil. They are fed palmitic acid, and it is good for them. They have been fed this acid for 40 years. Listen, I don't want to get in the middle of this. Maybe the media is to blame for this. The dairy media, which has frankly always been on the take.
Yeah, big dairy.
From the processors.
Big dairy's in our pocket.
I I don't care. I just want my butter to spread again. Because one of the things I really enjoy, in addition to garlic bread, is to take a sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
You ever got the sourdough from Cobb's Bread?
Yes.
Delicious. You get it sliced at the store, toast it.
Yeah.
And then butter and jam on it. A real simple pleasure.
You're so passionate about this.
I am. And I noticed it. I could have been one of these whistleblowers or whatever it is that wrote into the news and be like, guys, my butter isn't spreading. Sure. It's not spreading. It's not spreading
Why
like
it
used to.
Why are we not funding this?
Yeah. Have we found answers to this yet? Or is it just a mystery that the butter doesn't spread anymore?
Well, Kia... The Bringer of Chaos, which is a great name, by the way, writes in, butter consists of at least 60% of my diet. That doesn't sound healthy.
Must be keto.
I was going to ask you about that in a sec, so hold tight. I'm pretty much an expert, and I haven't noticed any change in my butter's capacity to spread.
Wow. And
also writes, you sound different because you're not on HD radio anymore. That's not true. We absolutely are. HD3 at 96.9 FM, correct?
Correct.
So you can get us on... HD radio, you can listen to our incessant mouth breathing, the occasional stomach gurgle,
mm-hmm.
all of it in stunning HD.
I like this text. Will you guys be taking holidays soon?
That was fast.
We just started.
We haven't even, technically, we haven't covered a single Canucks game yet.
I feel like this person might want us to take a holiday.
Ah, yes.
A permanent holiday.
No, don't like that.
Tyler,
mm-hmm.
with what we learned, with the ex-Canucks project going on in Calgary, they should have brought in Willie DeJardin.
Oh, no! We suck again!
I don't think you're going to be seeing Willie coach in the NHL again.
No.
That was, you know,
Sutter has term, doesn't he?
Yes.
Like, he's not going anywhere.
No, I think.
I wonder if Treliving will, though.
I think, well, then you run into the issue of Treliving brings in Sutter, and then you bring in a new GM. The new GM's card to play if things continue to go south is get rid of the coach.
I know, but Treliving's been there for a while.
Here's one for you.
I haven't had much success.
You know who might end up being the next GM? Daryl Sutter.
He'll do both again?
Yeah, wear both hats. He's familiar with it.
Was he the last guy to do it? I think he was.
Yeah, he was.
And then eventually even he was like, this is too much.
You remember they ran into...
I got to be the GM. I got to be the head coach. I'm also a farmer. I farm every day.
Right. He's at the ranch. I can't keep track of all this. What we learned from Reno, hashtag WWL, get him in. Gonzaga and UCLA was probably one of the best sporting games I have ever watched, and that includes Italy versus Germany at the 2006 World Cup, the Fabio Grosso game. It was great. You know, it was funny. We had, was it Jack Ferris? Did I have the name right? I already forgot.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Jack Ferris from the Believe in Zags podcast on at 6:30. Reminder, go listen to the podcast. It was a great interview with Jack. Got very emotional about his former school advancing all the way in the fashion that they did on Saturday night. He brought up a good point. That game, and there hasn't been many of them lately, especially during the pandemic, was one of those you could tell everyone was watching. Like if you jumped on your Twitter timeline, mm-hmm. you all those reactions that you don't really know. If you didn't know what was going on, everyone's just like, whoa, or wow, all caps, right? It was a fantastic game. 15 ties, like 19 different lead changes. Like it was neck and neck the entire time.
I was just so impressed with UCLA. They just kept making buckets.
Yeah, they were good. Very good. Like, that was the stiffest test, all mm-hmm. due respect to the West Virginia game that Gonzaga had earlier. And that was the toughest game that they've had all season long.
Easily.
Yeah. And now you look at it, everything is on the table for tonight's game. You've got this great matchup of the very clearly, including the seeding, the overall seedings, the two best teams in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do the two best teams ever make it through the bracket to get to the final. So you've got that. You've got the fact that both these teams thought that they were going to compete for March Madness championship last year, but it got canceled. So there's that unfinished business. They were supposed to have a game against each other. It got canceled. And of course, the perfect season. Like, for Suggs to do what he did to keep that season alive was so remarkable. Although, someone did astutely point out that the Leitner shot was to win. Everything was on the line because they were down in the game. If Suggs misses, it's still a tie game and it's still going to another overtime session. So that kind of puts the Leitner shot versus the Suggs shot back in. I hate doing this. Ranking everything, although that is like how you exist on the internet and sports radio. But that's what a lot of people are doing. And we're going back and forth.
Well, there's a bit of luck attached to the Suggs shot as well, too, right? Like you banked it in.
Yeah, and a little bit of luck with the Leitner shot as well.
Sure.
Although a highly, highly skilled play.
Well, yeah. I'm going to do a little exercise with you and Dom, ooh, since people are talking about greatest games ever after the Gonzaga win. If I were to just say, so this is any sport, and I'll just be like, boom, greatest game ever that you've ever watched. What's the first one that pops into mind? I know you're going to be like, the Gonzaga-UCLA game.
I panicked. okay, honestly, I've thought about this a few times, mm-hmm. and it would be between Crosby, Golden Goal, 2010 Olympics, and Burroughs game 7 round 1 against Chicago. I just remember never feeling as freaked out as I did during a game with the Burroughs game 7 Slay the Dragon goal.
But was that a good game the whole game? The thing with the UCLA Gonzaga game is people were saying, wow, this is an amazing game before the end.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was. It had all the moments. There was a missed penalty shot.
There has to be more than just a crazy ending.
But there wasn't the crazy. There was a missed penalty shot. There was the late goal by the Blackhawks to tie it up. There mm-hmm. was. The three game lead that led the narrative going into it. I mean, it had a lot. Like aesthetically,
but you can't take that three game lead into the.
But you have to.
Into your analysis. You're talking about
because that was part of the fear of the collapse. Was okay. It wasn't that you were just going to lose. To your hated rival, you were going to lose.
But that's the greatest game you can. I mean, is that just you personally, though?
Yeah, personally. I mean, greatest game. I'm sure there's some that, like, aesthetically were played at a level that you may never see before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But are we talking emotional reaction to, or like looking back, like it's a Mona Lisa, like it's a piece of art? Because the game on the weekend.
Yeah, Mona Lisa, piece
right,
of art.
Because the game on the weekend fits that billing because. Yes. Both offenses were clicking.
But I don't think you need to have a specific connection to UCLA or Gonzaga or even love basketball to appreciate that game. The Canucks, the Burroughs goal,
mm-hmm.
you know, I imagine you could parachute into that and be like, wow, that was pretty exciting the way that went. But I don't think you'd be like, that is one of the greatest
it is for
sporting
me
events
personally.
I've ever
It is for
seen.
Me personally because of the events that unfolded in that game mm-hmm. followed the high drama that evolved throughout that series.
Dom, what would you say?
Mine isn't traditional
You've had a little
in
more
this
time.
Market. It's toss-up between two, and I lean towards this one. 2011 World Series Game 6, Freeze leads the comeback against the Rangers, and he hits the two bombs.
Yep.
I remember watching that game. I'm not a fan of either team. But that, in terms of emotional investment as a neutral, I've never been more invested in a game in my life. That was in just unbelievable theater in the World Series. Okay. And then the other one would have been Game 7, 2016, Cubs win it all. That game was just mm-hmm. insane.
Mm-hmm. See, I'd have gone with, this is probably predictable for me, Game 3 of the 87 Canada Cup. I think that was just amazing hockey.
Right.
First of all, it had the stakes. It was the third game of the best of three. Canada, Soviet Union. And Canada was down big. And they were down 3 goals in that game. And they came back to win 6-5 on one of the most... Like, you were watching that game, even during the game, you'd be like, whoa, this is an amazing game. And then it ended on a spectacular play, like the Gonzaga-UCLA game.
Mm-hmm.
You could have flown into that, parachuted into that game, and not really known anything about the two teams and appreciated it for what it was. And then on top of all that, you have that amazing ending.
Okay, so if you want to talk, this one's going to be way off the board, but I distinctly remember it, and it's since made a bunch of lists. If you're talking about sort of like pure sporting greatness, athletic prowess, like the Mona Lisa.
And I think it has to be back and forth.
Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers, Kurt Warner with the Arizona Cardinals, the game that they played in the playoffs is still the highest scoring playoff game of all time, 51-45.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best passing display I've ever seen in football. And because the defenses could not do anything to stop either one of them. And it was.
You know, you had the classic football guys after that. It's like, I didn't think it was very good. I'd like to see a little defense in my game.
Right, but to do it in the playoffs, too, where usually they relax the rules a little bit and they're like, okay, like you can grab a little bit more on defense. So we get away with more PI. Warner finished with 400 yards passing and 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers did 423 and 4 touchdowns. Like, that was one where it was like, I don't want this game to end. Because it's been so entertaining to watch. But I had nothing emotionally invested in it. I could have cared less who won the game. But watching it from that perspective, I was like, this is the best passing game I think I'm ever going to see in football.
I'm so glad we had that Gonzaga game over the weekend. Just mm-hmm. something to lift our spirits and something to look forward to. Because I think most people, if you're a sports fan, you're looking forward to tonight's game. And how many games, we don't seem to get that as much anymore. Wait, we're just mm-hmm. like, we got this game tonight. It's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to watch it. And I don't think we're going to have that for a while for the Vancouver Canucks. Because even if they do play some games for the rest of the season, I don't think there's going to be a game where you're like, wow, this is a big game. Like, I absolutely have to watch it. The only thing that could maybe make it somewhat compelling is if, you know, Podkolzin were to play in it or something. But that, you know, that, I don't know. That's not going to lift me out of my seat and be counting down the time until puck drop. So really looking forward to tonight's basketball game. I hope it's another classic tonight so we can talk about it tomorrow. Any more what we learns? Get them in right now. We'll have a short segment on the other side. And then Kevin Bieksa at 8 o'clock. And then at around 8:30, Daniel Coombs, UBC epidemiologist, to talk epidemiology stuff. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
McDonald with it, dribbles right, dribbles left, dribbles right again, double teamed out front, a heave at the buzzer, no good, and Stanford wins. The Stanford Cardinal have won the national championship. The Stanford drought is over.
Yes, congratulations to the Stanford women's basketball team, their first national title since 1992, an exciting finish there as well. Holding off Arizona for their first title in a couple of decades. We got a real quick segment here. Our clock management skills have carried over from the old station to the new. We have no idea what we're doing here sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean most of the time.
Is that my fault too?
No, you kept yelling in our ear. Wait, we got to go to break. Got to go to break.
I didn't hear anything.
No?
No.
Or were you just ignoring it?
Just ignoring it.
Were you choosing not to hear Nephew Dog? Mm-hmm. That's the question. A lot of candidates in the Dunbar Lumber text message in basket for greatest sporting event. Look at you. You look so inquisitive as you're looking at me right now.
I'm just listening.
Yeah, he's got his hand. This is Dom, by the way. He's got his hand perched directly underneath his chin, and his fingers just kind of lightly tapping his nose. And he's like, he's about to say something. The 2006 Rose Bowl, USC, Texas.
Oh, Vince Young versus Leinart?
That deserves to be on like
that was amazing.
That was amazing. That was great. Yeah. That was what you're talking about back and forth. Just endless you score, we score, and then last.
And one of those things where people in Vancouver probably didn't have a strong emotional connection to either of those teams.
Yeah. Which was, I think I know what the answer is going to be because of the proximity and location, but was the 2002 gold medal win in hockey maybe a better game in terms of how it was played than the 2010 gold medal final? Because Canada, I distinctly remember like the Mario Lemieux, the dummy, to use a soccer parlance, letting the puck through his legs. And the quality of play was really high.
What was the final score in that game?
Oh, man.
It was more goals.
Yes. God, I want to say five. I'd have to double check. Let me double check now. You talk radio now. Good, go.
But my nervousness level in 2002 was, relative to 2010, was like a 1 if 2010 was a 10. I just felt like, and this is totally not true, but this is how I felt. I felt if Canada had lost that game to the Americans in the gold medal game in Vancouver, I was like, the Olympics were a failure.
Right.
We wasted money on this.
Furlong.
Exactly. This province is going to be paying for this boondoggle forever. This is worse than the Fast Ferries.
So 5-2 was the score in 2002 when Canada beat the U.S. Yeah, because I know we're right up against it for time, but it is a really interesting debate because when you asked the question originally, the first thing my mind went to was what was the one I had the most visceral emotional reaction to? Mm-hmm. But then when you kind of take a step back, like for example, USC Texas, I had no skin in that game.
None.
I think I might have bet on Texas, but I didn't even really care. I just wanted to see a good game. And usually when they're put on these platforms, it can fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that tragic national championship game between Butler?
Oh, my God.
Where no one could hit a shot?
Yes.
And I just remember thinking, like, this is the worst possible thing you can have in a big moment is when everything just...
Who was the other team playing Butler?
It was the year after Duke. Because you had the Gordon Hayward one. God, I'm going to have to go back and double check that now as well. We should, like, research this stuff ahead of time.
But you know who should be on this? Dom.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there. Just sitting there. A lot of people have texted in questioning Dom Simpson's knowledge, too.
Are you guys referring to the 2010-2011 final?
Butler-UConn. That was the terrible one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Butler-Duke was great. That was the Gordon Hayward heave that he almost hit
Correct,
at the
Correct, yes.
2011, they went back, and it was just a disaster.
See, you're calling me out, but I am actually researching as you guys were speaking.
Okay, good.
He wants to actually know ahead of time. Like, you have to read our minds a little bit.
Yeah.
Couldn't hurt to have a little audio from that USC-Texas game. But that's
with it.
Someone said your Simpsons drops aren't as good.
I mean, what do you want from me, man? Like,
yeah, I'll be sure to take a look at that.
Oh, my gosh. Now you're trying too hard. All right, Kevin BX is coming up.
It doesn't matter.
Are you panicking now? You're just pressing all
the buttons.
It's Alfred Abrupt Show.
Everyone about this place, and they're all going to support you.
What? Alfred Abrupt, Sportsnet 650, and maybe Dom will be back.